This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In October 2013, I had the opportunity to talk to Hong Yi, nicknamed Red, on an enterprise show called Careers Unusual. Then she was 3 years out of architect school, but already pursuing in tandem a career as an artist. She described herself then as an artist architect rather than an architect artist because it sounded better, she said. In 2013, she took time away from the architect office to give herself time to explore and produce her artworks. She's here today for me to ask the questions I didn't get to ask on that very short 10-minute show 2 years ago. Welcome.
Thank you, Sun Hei.
In 2012, you took 6 months off for a sabbatical. I don't know if you remember telling me all these things. Then
no.
You took 2013 off, the whole year off, to work on your art.
Yep.
So what happened in 2014? Did you go back to the office or continued with your art?
In 2014, I visited the office a couple of times because I still have a lot of good friends there. But I decided to...
Didn't go back to work, though.
No, I didn't go back to work. They set me free. I asked for freedom as well. And I decided to be on my own, which was exciting but nerve-wracking at the same time. In 2014, half of the time I was based in Shanghai and the other half of the time I was in Melbourne. And I'm based in Melbourne right now.
So do you still practice as an architect?
Right now, no. I'm fully an artist right now. And it's liberating to actually say that.
So I shouldn't introduce you as artist architect. I should just introduce you as artist.
Yeah.
So when you say you spend time in Shanghai and Melbourne, so you have studios in both places?
I work from both places. So when I'm in a different city, I usually negotiate with a client to probably secure a temporary studio space for me to work from.
How many works did you produce in 2014?
I think I produced two big projects, namely a piece for Jackie Chan with chopsticks. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yes.
Yep.
You did it for him. He commissioned it.
He commissioned it. That was for his 60th birthday. And that was quite a shock. That was quite an experience. And towards the end of the year, I created one with tea bags called Teh Tarik Men. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, that one I have not seen.
That's really recent.
Now that you've mentioned Jackie Chan's name, how did he contact you?
Jackie Chan.
Yeah, Jackie Chan.
Datuk Jackie Chan now. I'm just being funny.
Yeah, pulling rank on me. Not your rank, his rank. How did he get hold of you?
I received an email from his art director saying that, you know, his 60th birthday is coming up and he liked my work. And so when I met him, I was nervous, but I plucked up the courage to ask him, you know, how he found out about me. And he said that I think he saw my video on Jay Chou floating around online.
The coffee stain
one. The coffee stain one, yeah. And then he saw my Zhang Yimou one, the one with socks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good friends with Zhang Yimou and Jay Chou. He did a bit more research on me and decided that, hey, you know, okay, I'd like a piece.
How did you decide to use chopsticks?
All right. I talked to him a lot about what he was expecting of this and if he had any materials that he was interested in. And he gave me total freedom. So I did a lot of research on his older films. And in one of his older films called Drunken Master, there's a scene where he dines with his kung fu master and they eat and they start battling with chopsticks. And it was a very funny, silly
scene.
Yeah,
that's a very old
film. Yeah, it's really, really old. But I thought that was funny.
Before your time.
Before my time. I'm not sure which year it was out.
Probably in the 70s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
Right. So I thought that showed a very humorous side of him and that brings in his kung fu element as well. And I was in Beijing at that time and there were a lot of people on the street sides eating with chopsticks and chucking it away. So I wanted to utilize materials that I saw at places that I was experimenting with this whole thing. So that's how it came about.
So how long did it take between the talking and the final product?
It took, I would say, about 2 months, but it was cut short because we wanted a video as well. So we had to allocate time for video, editing, and the tough part, I guess, was sourcing the materials because we were in Beijing.
Chopsticks?
64,000 chopsticks. And these were, you know, those disposable ones you see in Japanese restaurants? Yeah. So we had to get hold of that.
And that was hard to get hold of.
That was really difficult.
You know, I would not have thought that that would be the problem.
Okay, that and I guess working before the deadline, I guess, the time limit for that.
So he gave you a time limit. You needed to finish before his birthday.
Before his birthday, yeah. Because he wanted to present it at the concert. He had this whole big birthday bash, which was a concert where he invited a lot of other singers. And
so I assume it's hanging in one of his places, one of his homes.
Yes.
Are most of the works that you do commissioned?
I would say about half. I try to have a bit of a balance between that because I think personal work is very... Both are very important. I think personal work's very important for personal growth and fulfillment. But with commissioned work, I think it's important financially as well. But I think there's a lot of things that I'd like to do that the client can provide as well, such as, I guess, assistance and, say, a video crew and even, I guess, funding and things like that. So both are important.
How did this all get started? I know this is not your first work. You've done with coffee stains, you've done with feathers from a shuttlecock, you've done with wax. When did this germ of an idea that you will paint without a brush set in?
Okay, my earliest memory of it would be probably not that long ago still, 2000.
Simply because you're not that old.
Eight, nine. Why, thank you. It's becoming an increasingly sensitive topic. I'm just joking. About 2008-9, I think, when I went back one summer from Australia, I went back home to KK. And Justin Bieber was really popular then, and I wanted to do a sketch of Justin Bieber just to annoy my friends. And I think I used ketchup and a little sort of toothpick to do a quick doodle of him on a plate. And I shared it online. And I think that was how it happened, actually. But I really didn't think that I would expand on that back then until I moved to Shanghai.
In essence, you are using the idea that you will create art in different media.
Yeah.
But as long as you don't use a brush.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that all that came about when I was in Shanghai. And if I didn't go there, I think I wouldn't have explored that, because I guess when I moved to China, I discovered that stuff was really, really cheap, especially compared to Australia and sometimes compared to here. And I could buy them in bulk, and people just buy a lot of stuff there. And I visited a lot of wholesale markets. So there were things in bulk that I could purchase. And I guess that's why I decided to use an entirely different medium to express my work.
So after Justin Bieber, what was your first work when you were in China?
In China, it was a piece of Chinese artist Ai Weiwei. I really admire his work and I guess his tenacity and his bravery. And he was on the media a lot during that time. So he has a piece called Sunflower Seeds. It's made of 100 million porcelain sunflowers.
Yes, I remember reading about it.
Yeah.
Where does the inspiration come from?
The inspiration to create art in general? I think it really comes from my curiosity with people, with just humans in general. I like to know more about why people think a certain way and do certain things. So I'm curious about stories.
So when you do a portrait of Jackie Chan or do a portrait of Mark Zuckerberg or Ai Weiwei, what is it you're capturing? You say you're interested in people and how they think, but how is that captured in your work?
I think, so how I started out with all these projects was because I wanted to convey stories of prominent Chinese people to my friends overseas in Australia and Malaysia. Because back then I asked my friends, you know, in Australia, do you know about Ai Weiwei? He's so cool. Like, everyone's talking about him in China. And a lot of them said no. And I think that's how it started. So I picked sunflower seeds as my medium and created a portrait of him and showed my friends and explained why I use sunflower seeds, because there's that connection. So in a way, I think it was to tell them about what I discovered there and about these people. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the Chinese are underrepresented?
The Chinese?
I mean, because you said you wanted your Australian friends to know more about this, you know.
Yeah.
So you have done Jay Chou, Dato Jackie Chan, the basketball player Yao Ming. And you created portraits of other Malaysians.
Right.
The badminton player Dato Lee Chong Wei, Yuna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are you trying to profile the Asians?
My initial project, in short, was because I felt that I was living in a totally different world, especially when I was in China. Media is controlled in a different way there. And stepping out of China, I feel like I'm entering a different world altogether. It felt very separate to me. And even social media platforms like YouTube, Youku, everything sort of segregated. So I think in a way I wanted to connect the two worlds because I felt that I was detached from my friends and family.
When you do a work of art, especially when they're portraits, you know, like Adele or the basketball player Yao Ming, what about them are you trying to capture?
I try to capture the story and what pushed them to who they are today. I try to tell this story in my own way. For Adele, I think it was with candle wax. It was with blue candles.
Yeah, why candles?
So her portrait was inspired by her song Set Fire to the Rain, which was really popular when I created the piece. And I did more research about her, and she has a bit of a... In a lot of her songs, she talks about her heartbreak and all that. And when I went deeper into Set Fire to the Rain, it sounds like an angsty, angry song, but it talks about her pain, about, I guess, a failed relationship. And I thought candles, when you set fire to them, they become liquid, right? They're sort of like tears flowing down. So she might be really angry, but there's that soft side of her that, you know, just wants to pour out as well. So I guess that was my expression behind it.
When I look at your works, I mean, there's very clear correlation between the media and the work that you are creating.
Yep.
Like, you know, with Dato' Lee Chong Wei,
right.
Shuttlecock Feathers.
That's really being very literal about it.
Yeah. But with Sam, it was a bit of a... I said, oh, where did that idea come
from?
That's why, like, the melted wax with Adele. I was like, why did she choose that? With Yuna, musical notes. Okay, I can see that, you know.
Yeah.
Socks.
Socks is not as obvious as well. I guess I tried to, in my earlier pieces especially, it was a bit more direct, like the Yao Ming basketball one. But I tried to push it a little bit so that, you know, there's a bit more, I guess you would have to dig deeper into it. So the socks one was because in Shanghai, how people hang their laundry, especially in the old parts, is through their windows, they would poke out a bamboo stick.
Yeah.
Yep,
it's not so uncommon, you know. Even in Malaysia.
Really? Bamboo sticks?
Yeah. At one time, yes. I remember.
At one time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember that far back.
Right. And was this with the Chinese community?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were probably... Mm.
And so you go down, like, you know, in Penang in the townhouses, you see all these bamboo sticks coming right out from the front window.
Right.
With underwear, socks, whatever, sarongs.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so
and
cool.
And I think... Even in Singapore, in the 70s, it was still being done until the Prime Minister then came out and said, this is so unsightly. And it has disappeared completely almost from the Singapore landscape. But I think in Malaysia, every now and then, you still might see it.
Right, right. I just find it funny to see underwear being hung out, you know, just on four pegs and then off a bamboo pole. It's funny.
I want to come back and talk about how you define art and why you're in it. You have said that you're painting for your showcase Asians, but I think maybe that was at one time.
Yeah.
But what is your concept of art? And I'll come back to that. Hong Yi, artist, not artist architect anymore. She paints without a brush, though I'm using the term paint in a rather loose way. Coming up also, we'll ask her about the business of art. This is Front Row and a Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, speaking with Hong Yi, a Malaysian artist who has done works on many notable personalities. She paints without a brush, like creating a portrait of Jackie Chan, by using chopsticks, Adele with melted candles, Jay Chou with coffee cup stains. Closer to home, she has done one of Yuna using musical notes, and badminton champion Lee Chong Wei, with shuttlecocks. So how would you define art?
I think to me, art is the freedom to be able to express what you're experiencing right now. It's like opening up a mind of a person and being able to see what the person's trying to express and then interpreting it your own way.
That's for you, the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be important to me, let's say if I am a member of the public coming to see your work? Why would that be important to me?
I think that'd be important because it really shows what's going on during that period of time. I guess it's a marker of culture. If you look back at artworks 10, 20, 30 years ago, they might be expressing something totally different. I think to me it's a lot about, I guess, civilization even. You know, it's a marker of human development and what's going on.
So if I am a person looking at art over time, then what I'm seeing then is the development of the human idea, development of intellectual ideas.
Yeah.
And that is important, from your perspective, that is important to me?
that's as important as knowing what's going on in the news right now. It's being aware of your surroundings and where we're progressing as human beings.
But yet, on the whole, though, notwithstanding the fact that art has really caught on in this part of the world, now we have lots of auctions of art. Art, for the most part, is still consumed, if that's the right word, consumed by a rather elite group of people. Most people don't walk into our National Art Gallery. Few people go even into the Petronas Art Gallery that's right in KLCC Suria. I think they get about 100,000 people a year.
And I think I have a problem with that. I think that's why I brought it onto the internet, because I do not want it to be just for a small elite group who seems to appreciate art. And I think one of the biggest compliments I've had so far with my art that I've put online is people emailing me going, you know, hey, I've never appreciated art, but I like what you do and I will continue following this. And I think it's so important to be able to break barriers and to be able to share it with people regardless of status, of gender, of location even. And the internet has really brought forth that. So it feels like a gallery.
But seeing something on the internet is not quite the same as seeing the real thing
itself.
Simply because of the scale of the work.
Yeah.
The colors are slightly different depending on how good your monitor is. One of the questions I've thought of asking is, when are we going to see your work with our own eyes? Not over the internet.
I want that to happen too. And I have not had an exhibition before. And I think all along, even the last couple of years, my close friends all know that my dream, one of my dreams that I've told all my friends is, I want to have a solo exhibition. I want to have my own thing. Partly because I've been taking up commissioned works, which has been really great. That's why I haven't really been able to invest into that, like time and all that, into an exhibition, because clients keep the work in the end.
Yeah, and then we don't get to see them, right?
But so this year for 2015, I've decided to put a hole in client work, to be honest, so that I'm able to focus on.
So when you do an exhibition, will we get to see the other works that, you know, like say the commission works, are you able to bring them together so that we can see art?
Jackie Chan
is one. And I believe you've done some for Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah.
The one with Mark Zuckerberg, is that yours or is that...
That's mine.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of what you see on YouTube right now is all personal work. And I have all of them. Should be exhibited.
Architects, regardless of what we think of their profession, it's one that designs and then it sells its designs. Architects are in a commercial service. Because I don't think of architects as drawing for the heck of it. Maybe they do. So does an artist fall into the same category as an architect, an artist like you?
I guess yes and no. I think artists try to push their personal work a little bit more, express the craziness going on inside their minds a lot more, and they experiment. With architects, I think it's you're given a set sort of boundary, a site already to work with, and then there's a brief to work with as well. But there's a certain amount of, I guess, flexibility depending on the client, really.
Yeah. But in the context of an artist, you have a much wider field to play and a greater freedom to do what you want to do.
Definitely, I think. Because with architecture, you have to deal with not just yourself. With artists, it's just yourself. You're in charge of everything. With the architect, you have a team. You have engineers.
As an architect, you're selling your works. Mm. But as an artist, where does selling come into the creation?
Selling my work.
Yeah.
I think traditionally it would be a gallery that you would collaborate with. So the gallery profiles you, the gallery pushes you out and has an exhibition and they have, you know, a list of contacts and people come and if they like your work, they would buy it. So traditionally that's how it's done. But these days, I think especially with the internet, it really depends on the trust between you and the audience and if the audience likes your story. So you can put work up and they would probably approach you.
Would it be fair to say that you've been discovered over the internet?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think if I didn't put my work online, especially on YouTube, that was what really pushed me out. And it circulated around because online media caught on to it.
But how did people find you? Just so that, you know, it somehow went viral enough that not only did you reach out to just everyday people, even corporate people started to see you, like there's somebody like Jackie Chan coming in and say, look, I want to commission you to do something for me.
Yeah. Okay, how that started out, and this is a bit of a test to see if your idea sticks with people or not, is to share it with friends. So I really just share it within my friend circle on Facebook. put it on my wall, and my friends started liking it, and they shared it with their friends. And then slowly I saw this crazy chain reaction thing, you know, they shared it with their friends and so on and so on. In general, if you have a good idea, be it in business or just a project, you know, if you have it, share it with 10 friends and see if they share it with other friends. If they think it's good, I think it will go out.
You didn't begin with the idea of this is how I'm going to market myself. It was just merely sharing.
It was mostly sharing, but the guy who shot the video for me, his name is Jolie. He's a very good friend. He was the one who gave me the nickname Red. He's a very good friend of mine. He gives everyone nicknames, so he gave me that nickname, actually. So when he shot the video, and before he put it online, he said, hey, what if Red becomes big? And then we're like, okay, yeah, let's try to profile this person as Red. And it really went viral, but it was more of a joke, to be honest.
So it was accidental, serendipity. Yeah. Huh? How commercially savvy must an artist be?
I think to be able to turn it into a career, you would have to be prepared to know, I guess, the strings behind it, to know a little bit about what might appeal to people and how to progress in your career and how to make it sustainable.
So what have you done to get yourself to this kind of state where you are savvy?
I think it was all trial and error. There were a lot of things that I didn't know, but a lot of input from a lot of other people, especially in conferences. So a lot of people come up to me and go, hey, you know, I see that you can actually turn this into a career, because this was really early on when I was still working as an architect. So I said that this was merely a hobby, and they told me it's actually doable. And I remember, I think this was at a conference called EG. This was 3 years ago in Monterey. Guy came up to me and said, hey, I have a friend I'll introduce you to. He's quite a prominent painter, artist, and he works on a couple of commission projects a year. And the rest of the year, he does personal work. And I thought that was a perfect job. And he says, it's actually doable. You know, you don't think of yourself as a sellout sometimes as well. You need to eat and you need to collaborate with brands that you believe in. He told me that there has to be a balance between the two. But from time to time, you need to look into it and, you know, ask yourself if you're happy at where you're at.
In what you do as an artist, the works that you have created, they are very representational in the sense that we see Jackie Chan, we see Mark Zuckerberg. Is there a danger that some critics might say that, you know, she's really producing very commercial properties?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a gimmick.
I think I worry about that a lot. I do worry about that. I tend to overthink sometimes as well. I think that's why it's very important to have a balance and to have a bunch of people who would honestly tell you what they think as well. I think in the end also, it's about whether you're happy with what you've produced or not. I know some artists who are very commercial, who are totally happy doing that, and they have people collecting their work. Some work is okay for a certain target group, and some people just do not want to get into that. So I think it's really fine.
Do you have to spend time as soon as you're finished with one project and you're thinking, so what's the next medium?
Yeah, I get very stressed out whenever I put a project on and I've spent like lots of hours, you know, just researching on a material and getting it done. And then people go, that's so cool. What's your next project? I'm like, oh, man, my brain needs to like rest.
Are there enough different materials to do different things that will, in a way, not just capture the work, but also capture the subject of the work?
I think there definitely is. And sometimes I feel that it is getting more and more difficult. But I think I have to remind myself that's just me limiting myself. I think what really helps is to travel and to see what people from other cultures do differently from you. And you would go, hey, you know, that's the same exact same material, but they're executing it. They're doing it in a different way. They're using it in a different way.
So what are you working on now?
Good question.
Not on anything.
Currently, no. My brain's sort of like, you know, resting. But, oh, I would really like to work on a piece where I can collaborate with people from all over the world who want to be involved in it. So I would probably set out a theme. This is just, you know, just a loose idea. Set out a theme, get them to mail it into a certain address, and then I would create something with it so everyone has a part to play.
Have you done anything for NGOs, like so that, you know, they could auction it off and raise funds and all that? Have you?
Not yet, but I am in discussion with World Vision. We've worked on a field trip together. There should be some stuff going on with them.
In April, you'll be coming back to Kuala Lumpur to participate in a business innovation conference.
Mm-hmm.
What will you be telling the business world?
I will be talking about my art, definitely, and how I feel an artist. I feel increasingly there is that connection between an artist and an entrepreneur or someone who starts up their business. It's really about growing that idea. So artists start out with an idea, and I think it's very similar to a business owner having an idea and getting excited about it and going, oh my gosh, you know, I want to build it, I want to grow it, I want to put it out into the world. And I think that connection there is very daunting because there's a certain amount of risk. Whenever you put something out like that, you're really putting it out and seeing if people respond to it or not. So I would be talking about my work and the connection between the two.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Hongyi.
Thank you. It was great talking to you too.
Hongyi, no longer artist architect, just artist. Maybe not just artist, artist. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.